should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. Holiness is the end of a sanctified or sanctification goal. If we have things in our life and we don't deal with them, contend with them, then understand that holiness will never be perfected in our life. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord in this life and in the life to come. In other words, when we don't live a holy life, holy faith does not work. So it doesn't produce any manifestations of any promise of God. God is coming after a church without spot and without blemish. Now, certainly he has washed us of that, but the work must continue through our desire to fulfill all that God has called us to. Amen? I'm trying not to preach over 4 hours. Now, so we as believers need to sanctify ourselves. Could I get an amen? Now, there's something I want to get down on the inside of you that is more important than just you getting a harvest, getting you a car or a house. I want to present to you one of the things that is of the utmost urgency for us to sanctify ourselves from. The first I mentioned in passing, every believer, and you may think it's impossible, but nothing is impossible with God unless you've moved away from the flame. Lukewarm Christianity, haphazard Christianity, half-dedicated and devoted Christianity is a miserable life. Get in or get out. Either commit ourselves fully or commit ourselves not at all. Jesus asked the question, why you call me Lord and don't do what I asked you to do? See, there is no life, deliverance, protection, or prosperity, or blessing, or promotion in declaring Jesus Lord of your life and not doing what he says. You'll live a wrecked life. Luke, the 6th chapter. So we don't want to live a wrecked life. Now, let's go to Acts 13, 2. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this has to do with apostles and teachers and prophets that were at Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas had went and sat with them, were sharing with them what the Gentile church was doing. And it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate, consecrate, sanctify me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Do you know that you and I, as Christians, could I have Jeremiah 1:5 on the screen? Before we were born, Psalm 138, verse 14 on down through 20, before we were ever born, God built us, created us, for an appointed time, for a divine purpose. Now, we were separated from that purpose by sin. But nevertheless, it did not stop God in preparing and creating us for future events. And so these men, God says, separate them for that which I have called them to do. You and I, as believers, have been before we were ever born into this world. We were created before we were ever born. And before we were ever born into this world, God, through the giftings, the callings, the desires, the skills that He put in us, had already determined the work that He wanted us to do. Everybody understand that? All right. Now, Paul and Barnabas come up, and they are among the prophets, the apostles. They're fasting, and they're seeking God. And the word of the Lord comes. It doesn't say by prophecy or by tongues or interpretation. It just says by the Holy Ghost. Because both should be and are to be ordered by the Holy Ghost. And so they said, now it's time to separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I've got for them. Now we're getting older. It doesn't matter. Now is your time. So Paul and Barnabas, by the timing and the unctioning of the Holy Ghost, separate themselves from everything to consecrate themselves to the purpose of God. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, then the word, oh, there you go, before I formed thee in the belly, before the foundation of the earth, God created us, and then comes conception, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, before Jeremiah was ever born of his mother, God had already consecrated and sanctified him. Well, how? By his gifting, his skill, and his call. That was the sanctification. And so Jeremiah then comes after he's born, and God says, I've sanctified or consecrated you for a work. Now, the secret is Jeremiah had to hear that. Right? In other words, nobody could hear it for Jeremiah. But Jeremiah would have missed out, much like the man that never invested his talents, he would have missed out on what God had called him to do. That means that Daniel, not only Jeremiah, but Amos, all of the minor prophets were birthed out of the office of the prophet of Jeremiah. Even in time, Daniel was born out of Jeremiah's prophet office. If he had missed that, guess who would not have been set in motion? All of the minor prophets and even Daniel himself. But Daniel was written before. No, Daniel was written after. Now, what I want to encourage you to do today is to begin to sanctify yourself and find your purpose in God. Nobody's going to hear it for you. Well, what do you think I should do? Buy a rock and climb under it. I don't know. You can't tell me what to do when God is leading me and ordering my steps. So Jeremiah had to hear this. Did he go to prophets? Did he go to everybody else? Did he follow everybody else around? What did he do? Now I'm going to show you why everybody is on the welfare system. And that means to me that everybody comes to the church to survive. Now, I'm going to lay this on you. It is not my job to reveal if you're a prophet or not. It's not my job to reveal to you if you're a teacher or not. How do you think that I have that? I don't know. The treasures of your life are laid up in the kingdom where thieves and rust and moth do not break through and steal. Only you are going to stand before God and say, God, this is what you told me. And he'll say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Or they're about to be on fire. I don't know. Now, I'm asking you a question. Why does everybody think, here's a mentality of a welfare church that we have in the world today. Well, what do they have for me? I don't know. I don't know. What udder do you want to draw from? A goat udder? You want a cow udder? Dog udder? What do you want? It's not my job to nourish. Everybody has to work out their own salvation. Now, I am called to ruffle your feathers, to stir you, to challenge you, to establish sound doctrine, and to rebuke you if you have need of rebuking. But however it got thrown over that I'm your mama, I'm not your mama, I'm your pastor. Now, I hear those religious devils getting it. Listen, don't even get them reared up. I've been with you for years. I'm not afraid of you. Well, we find another church. That's why we put doors on them, so people can come and people can go. I don't want you to go, but if you're just dying and just looking for somebody that's going to be your puppet, you don't waste time. Now, I'm Phyllis at home saying, oh, my God, not again. I'm just telling you, you don't own me. But you and I have got to work out our own salvation. What did God call you to do? I didn't create you and sanctify you for anything. I wasn't there when you were created. I'd have changed a lot of things. So I'm not responsible. Now, I can give you counsel. I can give you different choices. But if you think I'd stand up and say, thus saith God, here's what God created you for. Well, buddy, it's going to have to be a burning bush moment. Now, I banked my salvation on it, but I won't bank yours on it. See, everybody wants to have the welfare system. Everybody wants to feed off somebody else. I just heard that snide remark. No, let me tell you something. You can't do without a pastor. Because it takes a shepherd to keep kicking the lambs in the backside to get them somewhere. So I'm indispensable. I'm a kicker for Jesus. Now, but what I'm telling you is everybody wants to mimic or get in the shadow of somebody else. What if you found out your purpose? Wow. What happens when people find their purpose? They prosper, they blossom, they mature, and they become fruitful. Oh, Lois, what if you found your purpose? What if, David, you found yours? What if, Danielle, you found yours? What if you found yours? Tom, what if you found yours? What if everybody found out what they were supposed to do? See, we don't have apostles like we're in the book of Acts. We are not doing your job. Now, if the widows all die and dry up and go hungry, then we'll have a clothing bus. But if they don't, we're not going to. Now, you feed those widows. And if they go hungry, we'll come looking for you. See, if they would have said that in the modern day church would be hacked off. How dare you say that the church is not going to? No, no, no. You know, it's like if you see your brother in need, go to the church and get money for him. No, you meet the need. Get rid of them malls out of your pocket, David. And you meet the need. But see, everybody wants to push it towards somebody else. Your church is to be governed by a pastor that prays and studies. But he is not to create little slits for you to be satisfied with your service to God. No. Find out what you're supposed to do. Because one day, we're all going to stand before God. And he's going to say, what would you do with my talent? Well, I invested in it. Great, man. Here's some more. Then here comes this little old weaselly, backless, boneless, spineless, do-nothing, welfare recipient church attender. Well, I knew. You knew. Yep. Why didn't you do? I was afraid, Jesus. Afraid of what? A defeated devil? Afraid of what? Me failing that I said I'd meet your needs? Oh, fail? Oh, what were you afraid of? Well, just take what he's got. Take what he got and give it to the guy that used it. The church's value system. Every church in the world, including this one, has got to reprioritize its value on why we exist. Aren't you glad you got up on this blistery, snowy day? Hallelujah. No, I'm telling you. What did God call you to do? What did he call you to do, Bill? Wayne, what did he call you to do? What? Ron, what? What? Sarah Gay, what? What did he call you to do? Jordan, what did he call you to do? Nobody can answer that but you. Those are the secrets that belong to God. And you're not going to hear them unless you invade the kingdom. Do what is needed to do. Minister to the Lord. Fast. Pray. Find out till you hear from heaven. And devote your whole life to it. There are no churches that are not filled with opportunity. There's just churches filled with people that don't want to create them. Now, you've heard this story before. I attended I had one pastor in my lifetime. 33 years, I'm very proud to have known Samuel Thomas as my pastor. Did he ever make you mad? More time than Phyllis could keep track of. I mean, I went to him one time and told him Phyllis had a devil. And he turned to me in that office and said, yep, there's a devil. He said, but it's in you. So he got the devil out of me. And believe it or not, it resolved the problem. I thought he missed the Lord, but evidently he didn't. Never got mad at him. I told him I'm called in the ministry. He said, good. You show up on Monday nights and you start vacuuming all of this church, clean the toilets, make sure everything's ready for every service, and you're going to be the teen pastor. I said, no, no, God called me to preach. He said, I just told you how you're going to preach. You're going to preach you love your neighbor. Now get your hand on that vacuum cleaner. Oh, okay. Are you going to introduce me that I'm your helper now? No. So I said, are you going to teach me things? He said, no. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, you're going to go do it, and when you do it wrong, I'm going to tell you. Oh, okay. And he raised me before I had met Oral Roberts till I was born. Brother Shambach. Before I met anybody, I had already been molded by Samuel Thomas. And he taught me faith. Now, out of that, my church didn't have any outreaches. I went to the Bible. Believe it or not, I mean, I just went to the Bible. Didn't go to comic books, didn't go to anything else. I just went to the Bible. And I found out that I was supposed to feed the poor. So Phyllis and I started a food program out of our house. Found out we were supposed to clothe the naked. Guess what? We started a clothing bus out of our house. We found that we were supposed to feed people. We started getting truckloads of bread brought to our house. We found out that we were to preach the gospel. We started having sinners to dinners. I started going and preaching on the street corners. I started just going and preaching. Didn't know anything else. I just knew that this is what God told us to do, Phyllis. We're going to do it. And bless her darling heart, she got right behind me. She didn't mind hundreds of loaves of bread being stacked in a kitchen that you couldn't even walk around. She didn't care that every Thursday night we had to take all the furniture out of our kitchen, our living room, stack it in the bedrooms or put it outside so people could come and we could teach them a Bible study. She didn't care about any of that. She didn't care when their kids got into our dog food and ate it. We didn't care. We just let them eat their fill. You know what? I don't regret any of that because it made me who I was. It made me who I am. It made me a man of faith. It made me discover God in a way that nobody else had ever known him. And I don't know who your God is, but I know the God of the Dosak family. I know the God that healed broken marriages, that healed incurable diseases, that met needs, that promoted, that has taken the voice of this congregation all around the world and won millions of people to Jesus Christ. I know that God. But I don't know the God of anybody else that has ever wanted me to follow them or to be their shadow. That God does not exist. And I refuse to serve somebody else's God. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let's sanctify ourselves and find God's purpose. Amen? Don't you wish this message was over? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Sanctify our will. Sanctify everything else that would look like it would draw us from hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost. Remember, It's him that we serve, we live, and move and have our being in. Don't become somebody else's shadow. Show the world who your God is. Put your hands to your plow. Pick up your shovel. Pick up your axe. Become what God has sanctified you for. You're better than just being a clone of someone else. God needs you as the eye, as the ear, as the hand, and as the foot. But if we do not get involved, the body of Christ and its message will be crippled through unwilling people. I'm John Kessler, and I approve of this message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And God, we ask you to watch over the people today as they travel home. I know, God, traveling mercies will be given them. And God, I just ask you to prosper and to bless. God, burn these embers of fire, as harsh as they may seem, as hard as indifferent to our basic thinking that they are, God. Blow on them, God. Let them burn a fire within us, that we will be the lights of the world, that we will refuse to be hid. And God, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Go be blessed and be a blessing.